Welcome to It's About Florida, a weekly discussion program tackling the key issues and topics of interest to our state. I'm Tremel Gomes. Wildfire season is kicking off with as many as 90 fires burning throughout Florida. Forest Service Director Jim Carl says state and federal officials are working together to protect the state, but it's hard to keep up, especially under current drought conditions. It's currently forcing state officials to cut down on controlled and prescribed burns. Even though an approaching storm season might bring rain, Florida is known as the lightning capital of the world, and those lightning strikes can cause wildfires. You'll hear about all that and more on this edition of It's About Florida. Tell me your name and introduce yourself, and what do you do?
I'm Jim Carls, and I'm the director for the Florida Forest Service. So I oversee our Florida Forest Service, which is responsible for all wildfire suppression in the state, as well as state forest management and overall protection and management of all our state forests across Florida, all of our forests.
Well, how much acreage are we talking here as far as forests?
From the wildfire protection end, we protect 26 million acres in the state. So that's all of the wild land, other than there's about 4 million acres of federal land that is not in our jurisdiction. So we have pretty much everything across the state that can burn in any type of wildfire, whether it be forest, grass, or any other type of fuel.
How did you get involved with the Forest Service?
I'm from Minnesota, and I started working in the West. I actually fought fire throughout the western states, Washington, Oregon, Wyoming, South Dakota, with the U.S. Forest Service before I came with the Florida Forest Service. I came with the Florida Forest Service in January of 1985 in the midst of one of our worst fire seasons. And I operated a dozer for about a year doing that as a firefighter here, and then went on to the forestry end. I've worked both in the land management and the fire end of it. A lot of experience on the ground with fire, which I enjoy, and I really enjoy getting out with my guys and gals, and they're real experts. We have one of the best fire programs in the country and just some of the greatest people to work with.
What's your primary concern right now?
Right now we're really looking at about a two-year drought. Started in about July of 2010, very dry second half of 2010. That continued through 11 and now into 12. So we're looking at 2 years of drought. I mean, there's almost no water in any of the swamps in the state. And, you know, Florida is very wet many times of the year. And those swamps we tend to use as places where we can stop the fires, help stop it. We'll run it into the swamps, and then we'll put lines around it and be able to contain the wildfires. This year, without any water in the swamps, many times that is the worst place for the fire to be because it's the toughest place for the equipment to navigate. It has the opportunity to burn right through them, and it has an opportunity to really heat up, throw embers, spot out, and be significant problems both from the fire end of it and even more so from the smoke end of it and what the smoke does to the state's highways and roadways and the people and the health of the state. So a lot of impacts because of the drought, both from the fire you see on TV as well as the smoke.
Have we come to a conclusion, like looking at what the smoke does to the highways with the situation that we saw with I-75 and that massive crash that occurred down there?
Because of the drought, because of that two-year drought, in essence, all of the fuels are available to burn. So the stumps that are in the swamp that normally would be wet, the grass is the ground. Florida is very well known for its organic soils in many places. And those organic soils in droughts, what we call muck is the term for it, burns. And sometimes we'll have fires, ground fires, we call them, that will burn 10 and 12 feet deep. And this smoke that it puts off is tough for the firefighters to deal with, and very tough from the standpoint of trying to know exactly where it may settle at night and the roadways issues. We work very close with FHP, and we're tied to them day and night right now as we work with FHP and DOT to help keep the roadways safe. We're responsible for the wildfires. And then beyond that, we're task to notify them where we think that smoke might impact, and then they take it from there with protection of the roadways. But it's a big issue because of the drought. There's just that much more smoke. You saw it just a couple weeks ago on the very large fire, what we call the County Line Fire, up north of Lake City, and it had some pretty significant impacts to Tallahassee with smoke, all the way down to Lakeland. As the winds shifted and as it moves smoke around. So that smoke in these drought conditions is a pretty significant factor.
When you say they burn 10 to 12 feet deep, what do you mean deep?
And 10 to 12 feet is on your really on your maximum end. But, yeah, what it's doing is it's burning that organic soil. It gets so dry that what you would normally walk on as soil is now burning. Oh. In those – many times in those swamps, in those low areas, over time, your soil builds up with organic matter. And the vast majority of the time, that won't burn. But under these severe droughts, it will burn. And it'll burn down, and it'll continue to burn for days, for months. We have one fire in a dry lake bed in Putnam County that has been burning since early January. And it's a tremendous smoke producer. It's burning those muck soils, and it burns until it hits a moisture level or until it gets significant rain to be able to put it out. And you can't put enough water on it because it's burning into large areas and burning down into the soil to where the water, you would have to completely flood it to be effective.
These wildfires to continue, mentioning January to now, like 4 months, this is common.
Yeah, and there's different situations. There's sometimes where we bring in these really large pumps and we actually drill wells. And if it's in a confined hydrological area, we're able to sometimes douse it, flood it out. This fire, for example, in Putnam County is about 1,200 acre fire, so a very, very vast area and a very flat hydrological condition that it just won't flood easy. And then you're into the other factor of your wells and your groundwater and everything that you use to drink and to survive on is also low. So if we go into that groundwater in that area where the lake beds are dry now, where the people have wells, and we put a massive pump in, we could actually push the water down and maybe take the water away from the community. And we don't want to do that either. So it's a tough situation of figuring out how do you deal with these type things. You deal with them the best you can. You contain them. You minimize the smoke. Sometimes you have the opportunity to flood it and put it out. Them big bass fires, you just don't. It's too big. It's too much water to be able to move to do it.
Tell us about the conditions we are in right now.
What we're dealing with right now is the second year of what's called La Nina. And Florida is very impacted by El Niños and La Nina effects. And those are it's kind of funny, but they are conditions of the Pacific Ocean, the western, southwestern Pacific, and the water temperatures out there. And if they're high or low, they dictate weather across the southeast U.S., across the southwest U.S. When we go to a La Nina, we tend to have much drier conditions in the state. The last La Nina prior to this was 2007, and we had very significant fires. Before that, we had a long La Nina from about 1998 through about 2001, and we had really significant fire seasons. So it correlates very well with drought conditions. We are critically dry. Now, we got some rain last week, and we are moving in. Florida burns 12 months a year with wildfires, but really the worst time is from about January to June. Mm-hmm. And it really peaks from about probably April to June. So we're in that time frame now. And a lot of that is because April, May tends to be quite dry. And then the lightning comes with your afternoon thunderstorms. And it takes a while. It's almost like a checkerboard effect with afternoon thunderstorms to find enough rain to reduce the threat. And what comes with them is lightning. If you get a lot of dry lightning ahead of time, the fires are tremendous. If you get a little bit of moisture ahead of time with limited lightning, we got a chance of catching up. So we will see what happens over the really the course of the next 6 to 8 weeks.
When is wildfire season the peak season for you on the calendar?
It's kind of funny. In Florida, it can be, we always say, 2 weeks since the last rain. But normally with the vegetative fuels and stuff, normally the peak is May and June.
So these wildfires aren't necessarily a bad thing. It's part of the natural process of getting Florida's vegetation fresh and back to where it needs to be. Tell us about the process of prescribed burns.
Florida is a fire-prone ecosystem. I mean, the entire state. It's evolved under fire. It's the lightning capital of the U.S., maybe of the world, they say. Just a tremendous amount of lightning, and that starts fires.
Is it really the lightning capital?
That's what they say. And if you look at the lightning for the U.S., it is where the vast – I mean, they get the most strikes per acre on average through the peninsula of Florida. Not so much Tallahassee, even though we get a lot.
Yeah.
But the peninsula, really, there's certain areas that get a tremendous amount of lightning when you average it across the whole U.S. So, yes, Florida is very lightning conducive. And that starts fires, especially in the spring when those conditions are right for it to burn. As I said, Florida evolved under that system. So the plants are set up to burn, the soil conditions, everything is really used to fire. And you got to have it because of our subtropical environment where we grow a lot of vegetation. Florida burns more with prescribed fire than any state in the nation. We burn close to, on average, about 2 million acres a year. We give the Florida Forest Service authorizes anywhere from about 110,000 to 120,000 authorizations a year for people to do different types of prescribed burning that are critical to reducing those dangerous fuels, to keeping our ecosystems healthy, to keeping our agricultural system running, and really a process that allows us in many cases, to be able to contain those dangerous fires under the worst conditions is when those fires run into prescribed burns and run into lower fuels, it gives the firefighters a chance to catch them. So the prescribed burning in the state is critical, and we lead the nation in that.
Mm-hmm. And why prescribed burns over letting it go to the natural process?
The very good thing about prescribed burning is you can do it under a controlled process. You're able to pick the right weather condition so it's not too dry or not too wet. You can pick the wind so you can minimize the smoke impact because the smoke, as we spoke earlier, is a big impact. Uh-huh. You're able to do it under conditions that you know is safe. The wildfire end tends to find the worst-case conditions. So if you go and think, okay, next week with these dry conditions, I'm going to go burn 2,000 acres in the swamps of Perry, you may not have a chance of holding that fire. So, you know, you do prescribe fire under the right conditions. And when it's safe, when the smoke conditions are right, when the wind conditions are right, and all favorable to be able to contain those fires. Because we have 18 million people in the state, so we no longer can let those fires just run. The wildfires, they don't give us the opportunity to pick the best conditions, and they tend to find the worst conditions because of the standpoint. If we have a big fire, a big wildfire in the state, you know that the reason it's there is because the conditions are very bad and we're not able to contain it. And at those same times, we're not issuing the prescribed burn authorizations because they're not safe. So the real benefit of prescribed fires is you're able to do it under a control basis. You do it with scientific methods. You do it with experienced people. And you pick the right times of year to make it safe for the public and effective for your forest health too, because if you burn at the wrong times with prescribed fire, you can also be very detrimental to the ecosystem as well.
You're listening to It's About Florida. I'm Tramell Gomes, sitting with Florida's Forest Service Director, Jim Carls, who's urging people to brace for a busier-than-normal wildfire season, considering the state's long-running drought conditions. Now back to the interview.
Looking back, what was the busiest wildfire season, the worst that the state has encountered so far?
We've had a lot of bad fire seasons over time, and I've been with the agency a little over 27 years, so I've seen a lot of them. Probably in any one year, 1998 was the worst. It was a huge impact all the way into July. It essentially closed down the 4th of July for Florida. There was no fireworks. The Firecracker 400 was closed. The interstates were closed from South Brevard County all the way to Jacksonville, from Lake City to Jacksonville on I-10. During that time period, we had almost 2,500 lightning fires, all within a very short period of time. And it just overwhelmed the fire resource, no matter how many we brought in. And we brought in huge numbers of personnel, aircraft, fire engines from all over the country. And it was still well beyond the capability of firefighters. When it gets to a certain point in the state and the weather conditions line up with the droughts, there's times where what the firefighters got to do is they got to make sure they protect the citizens. And they know they're not going to stop this fire. They know they can't get in front of a 150-foot wall of flame that is spotting 1 to 2 miles ahead of them. But they work to guide the fires around the communities and protect the citizens. And that's what we do under those worst-case scenarios. I'm hoping we get rain before we get a lot of lightning this year so that we stay away from those type conditions.
And the indication there is the drought index there.
The drought index. The drought index right now is about 480, 485 on a statewide average across the state. And drought index runs from 0 to 800. That's probably about 100 points above last year's average at this time, of which was a pretty significant fire season last year. Most of that burned in May and June. So you tack that higher drought index on with a long-term drought, the Palmer Drought Index, the Keach-Byram Drought Index that we normally talk about, looks at really your short-term drought. But there's a Palmer Index that looks at long-term drought, and the entire state of Florida is in some form of drought right now, with parts of it being about 12% of being what's called exceptional, the highest drought level they may. So the state is both in a long-term and short-term drought. And so the situation is, we're prepared. We're ready, and we're minimizing the fire starts and knowing that we will get more lightning as that lightning season approaches.
And looking for the tropical season to help bring in some moisture, I understand.
Yeah. I got my fingers crossed for a tropical storm with no wind early in the season. 2007, we got what was called a subtropical event, and that was actually the worst case because it came in and it wasn't quite tropical, which at that time it brought the winds, but it didn't bring rain. And it was pretty significant. We had a huge fire over in the almost entire Okefenokee Swamp burned. It burned down into Florida, almost 35,000 acres burned into Florida from that fire. And then there was big fires across the state. So sometimes you win or lose on those tropical events. Now, they tend to get us out of the long-term droughts. Maybe the bad part is they're not forecasting a real severe tropical season, but it only takes one really good tropical storm with a good 8 or 10 inches of rain to really give you a lot of benefit to the state.
Yeah. What are resources available to you guys to like eradicate a fire? Oftentimes we're watching on TV when you guys are busy at work and the helicopter comes in with this big tank. What's being dropped? Is that retardant? Is that water?
Most of the time our helicopters, and we use them to support our tractors on the ground, dozers with the plows. Those are critical because you've got to get that fire line in and stop. What the helicopter does is it's bringing in water. And it's 99% of the time it's mixed with a foam agent. And that foaming agent, in essence, stretches the water, makes it the surfactant go and do a better job of penetrating the fuels, penetrating the fire, and putting it out. So a lot of times you'll see the water almost look foamy, and that's because it does have foam in it. When you see the big air tankers come in with the red slurry, that's called long-term retardant. And what that does is it hits the vegetation and essentially helps to suppress the fire from burning through it. So those are the large air tankers. And what we have is small air tankers. And the helicopters are critical to supporting those ground resources, but they can't put the fire out.
So. All right. What's the ratio? Like when we look at lightnings that can trigger a fire naturally, what's the ratio between natural fires and the prescribed burns?
The ratio between our wildfires is about 25% of our wildfires are lightning. The other 75 to 80, depending on the year, are human caused. So there's arson is a big part of our fire cause, as well as debris burning. People that burn yard trash in their backyards and it gets away. Machinery can be anything from a mower to a vehicle, a catalytic converter, starting off the road. And then miscellaneous, all kinds of different type of human caused fires. But about 75 to 80% of the fires in Florida is human caused. And so that's pretty significant. And that's where we really work to reduce that cause, because we know we can't do anything about the lightning. When the lightning comes, it starts a fire. We can't stop that. But the human cause, we push the prevention effort. And in these dry times, we really emphasize, be careful as a citizen what you're doing. This is not the time with the drought we got right now to be burning your leaves in the backyard. It's just the potential for it to get away is too high. Be careful where you park machinery. Don't dump your charcoal coals out in the woods behind the house, because you're going to have problems. And if we have to come in and you're the cause of the fire, we hand you a suppression bill. So don't chance those fires getting away, because it is very dry and the conditions are such that just that yard trash fire which you're burning your leaves could be turned into a major significant fire.
That suppression bill, how big can the penalty be?
The way the Florida statutes are is that if we determine who started the fire, it's our job to give them a suppression bill on the cost to put that fire out, with a minimum of $150. But when you get into dry conditions, if you have to have aviation resources, if you have to bring in a lot of dozers, if you have a big fire, you can have a big suppression bill. So it can be anywhere from $150 to thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm. What's the busiest part of the state for you guys?
The peninsula of the state, on the big picture, is your most significant fire problem. As you go west into the panhandle, it gets better. And I always say in the panhandle, I-10 south tends to be the more severe part. But the peninsula is our biggest fire problem. And then there's some areas within the peninsula, southwest Florida, the Naples, Collier, the Lee, the Sarasota County areas is significant. You go up into northeast Florida in Volusia, Daytona, up to Jacksonville, over to Gainesville. That area is significant urban interface. And then you have that very very large wooded corridor of Cross City, Perry, Lake City up there, the big forestry belt, where, you know, tremendous impact to the economy of the state, also has a tremendous potential for large fires. Just more remote in those areas than the Volusia County or the Jacksonville area.
So how many active fires are we dealing with right now?
As of yesterday, we had about 90 active fires in the state for about 40,000, 39,000 acres. Some of that on federal land, some of it on state jurisdiction, some of it where we're working together. But so 90, when you look at 90 fires across the state, that's taxing our resources pretty hard. A lot of those fires are just you can't get them to go out because of the drought. So you got to come back every day. You got to be sending somebody there. And then it limits the resources for your initial attack on new fires, or you got to pull away from existing fires to go to new fires.
I see you have some documents there that you brought, like the economics of fire. What do you want us to know about?
I think the important thing is help us help you. And what that means is with your homes is provide us defensible space for our structural fire counterparts that are with us every day on these fires, and for our wildland firefighters. Meaning, if you got a home and if you don't have 30 feet of really non-combustible vegetation around your home is in pretty significant danger. If those palmettos and that wildland fuel, that forest comes right up to the side of your house, it is very hard to protect it. Give us some space. Make sure your gutters are clean, your roof is clean. Look at what's around your house. If you got wood stacked up, if you got a lot of pine straw running right under your decks and stuff, that's threats to losing your house, and it makes it much harder for the firefighters to protect it. So as we get closer and closer and you see more and more fire activity as a homeowner, look at what you got out there. Make it easy for that firefighter to protect your house And that gives you a chance, much better chance, if there's an evacuation and if a fire does go through your neighborhood.
So what actions can citizens take if there's an approaching fire, like run out with the hose, wet their lawns?
The key is to get ready early. Have a plan. Get your stuff ready. If you can turn sprinklers on around your house, that's ideal, but don't wait too long because you don't want to jeopardize your life. And waiting too long can be just as bad as not going at all. So have a plan, and we say go early. Because when that fire comes and when that all of a sudden evacuation is there, there isn't enough time to start now. So do some of your prep ahead of time. But if you got an opportunity to turn your sprinklers on, do it, you know. But don't wait too long, and don't try to combat the fires under bad scenarios, because a garden hose in a significant fire means nothing. I mean, it will get you hurt, and the fire just it doesn't even notice it, you know, type thing.
So as we sit here, we're hoping to get Florida where it needs to be as far as like to avoid these wildfires. A really good tropical season to kick in.
Yeah, that what they're showing on the forecast is the La Niña dissipating, and when La Niña dissipates, we tend to see more rain, but we see it in the winter. And going to possibly an El Nino, which means less tropical storms, but a wetter, cooler winter. So it's kind of interesting. We could have a fairly dry summer. We might be fighting fire through the summer, and then hopefully a wet winter that starts to dissipate the drought. I'm not a good forecaster. I mean, it could rain 10 inches tomorrow, you know, and I hope it does. But the forecast right now is to be fairly dry in the state at least through June. And it is the normal dry season right now for Florida. And hopefully the afternoon thunderstorms come back and rain us out early prior to the lightning coming.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add that I didn't ask or let our listeners know about?
Maybe one of the things we didn't talk about is reporting fires, you know. If you see something that says a prescribed burn in progress, which you're not going to see much now, but if you see those signs, that's an obvious that you don't need to report it. But if you see a wildfire out there, a fire out there with nothing, especially this dry time of year, call 911. Mm-hmm. And let them help us get good, quick response. Even more important is if you see some suspicious activity and a wildfire, you see a vehicle, a make, model, if you see a license plate, and you see a fire, and you know sometimes we just see it and it doesn't look right, make sure you report it to us. Give us a chance to do a better job reducing the arson caused fires as well.
Yeah, well, Mr. Jim Carls, thank you so much for joining me here on It's About Florida. We really appreciate all this information.
Thank you much.
Thank you to our guest, Jim Carls with the Florida Forest Service. You've been listening to It's About Florida, a production of WFSU-FM. Our senior producer is Regan McCarthy, with technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox. Please join us again next week for more discussions about the issues impacting our state. I'm Tramel Gomes.